Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Live, local, logical. It's Cardle and Woolley on Talk 1370. Join the conversation at 512-643-5483. Now, here are Cardle and Woolley.
TGIF, welcome everybody to Cardle and Woolley. I'm Lynn Woolley, the Secretary of Logic, also known sometimes as the Secretary of Compassion. And right across from me, we have measured, and we are at least 4 feet apart and only wearing two masks each.
On our way to 4 and 5 masks. Yes,
the exactly. Texas Insider, Jim really? Cardle. Jim, the first thing I'd like to tell our vast right-wing audience this morning...
Hey, this is Austin, Texas.
If you are driving in from Pflugerville, from Round Rock, Georgetown, Temple, Killeen.
Is the coast clear this
morning?
Yeah,
the coast is clear. Not only,
after yesterday,
not only
man.
Is the weather absolutely gorgeous today.
It's nice.
But, I mean, we were flowing along at a good 80 miles per hour clip this morning. No problems.
80 miles? Wait a minute. That the speed limit, I don't believe, is 80 miles an hour.
But I'm just saying that's what you could drive if you wanted to, because
okay.
There was no traffic like yesterday when it was a parking lot.
Yes, it was.
And
right
do you know what I mean when I say
the congested area of 35 in America?
The downtown overhead wall. When you're coming in from the south and you're headed toward downtown and you get up on the overhead where you got St. David's and you got Sabina and you got all, it's like a wall over there to your right.
Yes.
And then you pass that, and I think I might have figured out why the lights at Texas DKR Memorial Stadium are on all the time.
On red or on green or on what?
No, the stadium lights.
Oh, the stadium lights. Yeah, they are not.
Yeah,
that's a waste of
well, that's
our
what
carbon
I was thinking,
footprint.
You know?
There
I mean, my gosh, what's going on here? This is a city that's anti-fossil fuel, and we're running the stadium lights?
That's it's cattywampus.
Maybe they've got them on for the construction workers building the new Moody Arena.
Which
it could
is
be.
Under construction.
Yeah, could be.
Okay.
Okay,
and
well.
And they are do work at night. You got to give them credit. They aren't burning any daylight or spotlights right there. They are working 24/7, and I appreciate the construction and the growth industry that's going on here in Austin, Texas, making it one of the fastest growing cities in America, because those are hard working wage earners right
okay,
there.
Okay, do you mind if I help the city of Austin just a little bit right now?
I'm all for you.
Do
we
something to
make
their jobs easier.
We help the city of Austin
easier.
Every day.
Yeah,
Roy.
I mean, I'm just thinking about what can I do for my part for this reinstatement of the camping ban on the May ballot. You know, it's going to be there.
Yes, it is. Congratulations.
It's going to be on the May ballot.
Austin
a lot of Democratic socialists called into the meeting yesterday, virtually, you know, it's a Zoom meeting, and said, hi, I'm a teacher. I'm also a Democratic socialist. This is a problem.
A teacher is a Democrat Socialist of America member.
Probably lots of them.
Well, that would raise the
but
question, what is she teaching in the classroom?
Now, we don't have Matt Mikowiak on the phone right now, so let me take that part.
Okay.
He's got this organization that's got this on. What is it?
Save Austin Now.
Save Austin Now.
Yeah, they've done
Save Our Springs was something else. Okay. Save Austin Now.
They've done a great job.
So the petitions call for an ordinance reinstating the ban on homeless camping across the city. Now, how can the city of Austin put some mischief into this?
I can see where you're going.
You know exactly
how they
write
the language on the ballot. Yes. Okay.
So I have written the ballot proposition for them.
You have not.
Yeah. So they don't have to try to come up with anything that will confuse you. Okay. I mean, what should it be? It should be.
Should we repeal the ban? Yes. Should or no?
Yeah. Exactly.
Done.
So, but I've got one I think they'll like.
Okay.
And it is this: the camping ban should not never be reinstated.
I like that.
You like that?
Never.
Yeah, the camping ban should not never be reinstated.
Although,
if they put that on the ballot, the city would probably get what they want.
As a politician and a parent, you do have to remember the piece of advice, never say never.
Mm-hmm.
Although I like Willie's language there.
Well, I mean, it's just the way they try to fool us sometimes. Couple of breaking
stories. We're
going
to have to watch that.
You won't hear this anywhere else, Okay. Because I had to really search to find this.
Mm-hmm.
Yesterday was the day the Faculty Senate was supposed to decide whether they wanted to advise Texas Christian University
Yep.
to kick Congressman Roger Williams off the Board of Trustees.
Because he likes to talk about and vote for things that are conservative, like most Texans.
That's right. It was that, but they also was doing, because he voted not to certify the election results.
Well,
and of course, that's sacrosanct among liberals, and this tells us the Faculty Senate is pretty far left.
Okay.
But here's the thing.
I'm glad he voted that way, by the way.
Lucy? Pulled away the football.
Okay.
And Charlie Brown fell on his butt like he always does.
Oh, they pulled the resolution.
Here's the reason they pulled the resolution. The Faculty Senate retracted it. That's the exact words. It had stated that the congressman subjected the school to ridicule by objecting to Electoral College votes and touting unproven claims of election fraud. And according to Roger Williams, if you don't agree with them, they want retaliation. But the Faculty Senate chairman, a guy named Sean Atkinson,
Okay. Far
leftist, said he retracted the resolution after learning the board is considering disallowing elected officials from serving on the board anyway. That's coming up in April.
Well, that's
so they
a
decided
more measured.
They would,
and, yeah.
Yeah, pull the football out and just do it then. By the way, as we got to get to a break here
Yes. On
Cardle and Woolley, but let me mention, I haven't been able to find this anywhere online yet. These reporters are sleeping too late. They need to get up and do their job. But word that I have through my shell-like ears this morning
Yes.
is that Bernie Sanders himself has admitted that this is probably not the right bill to put the minimum wage hike.
Socialist Democrat Bernie Sanders.
Yeah, so they have pulled that.
Because it's shutting down grocery stores.
But I could be wrong, but that's a different, we can talk about that.
Yes,
that's a big issue too.
Oh, it's a wage earning issue, Bernie Sanders. Interesting, okay.
Isn't that? All right, Talk 1370, the right choice. 512-643-5483. This is Real Talk Radio in the Texas Capitol, and we'll be right back.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Live, local, and taking your calls at 512-643-5483. It's Cardle and Woolley on Talk 1370.
You know, Jim Cardle, I've been feeling a little down since yesterday. As you know, I was so rudely awakened to my own shortcomings by Eddie Aldredi yesterday morning.
Our friends over at IBC.
Lack of compassion.
This was a compliment to you.
No, wait a minute here. It really made me feel like I'm not compassionate enough. And so
he said that you should claim the title of the Doctor of Compassion.
Secretary. But I decided I needed some sensitivity training.
Okay.
So I voluntarily enrolled, and you would be amazed. I found a sensitivity training company right in my council district.
You did?
Yeah.
Greg Kassar's got social services you took advantage
of? Well, yeah, so
of?
I signed up with the Kassar Compassion Training Company.
Okay, this is our news-making break of the day.
So I will be telling you how that goes, and, I don't know, I'm just feeling like I may be able to organize this morning show after I get done with it.
You're going to add community organizer to your vast list of
professional. Yes, because it pays so well.
Yes.
It pays so well, and I'm going to come out of this a lot more compassionate than I am now, and I will report to Eddie Aldredi on how
I'm serious as a heart attack, Lynn Woolley. That was a compliment. You are the doctor of compassion.
Oh, I am indeed.
And that's what we strive to serve here on the Cardle and Woolley Show. So,
secretary,
we got to be taking care of the homeless, and we got to be buying hotels on the cheap, and we got to be expanding the population just so we can compete with Portland and in San Francisco and any other number of cities that you are fans of.
President Biden, and it still irritates me to have to say that, but he is the president. I mean, 60 court cases ruled it.
Yep.
All right, so Biden is the president of the United States. Now, in case you haven't heard, and he's making us all very unified, here is something. He's made his first foreign policy speech yesterday, Jim.
I saw that he went over to one of the agencies there and address the employees as presidents are wont to do. They try and take the opportunity to boost morale, gin up kind of some interest on specific issues by making these visits. And you're right, he did. He made some comments.
Mm-hmm. And he was wearing 17 masks all at once.
Okay.
Anyway, so Biden is talking about essentially promising to overturn all the gains that Trump made in his 4 years. And if you're out there and you're a lefty, our number's 512-643-5483. Tell me where I'm wrong. We've got Iran crawling on their knees. Iran has been brought down by Trump. Iran is no longer doing a nuclear program. They can't afford to feed their people. Iran does not, listen to me, does not fund terrorists right now because they can't afford to. And Biden is going to reverse that.
You have to be slightly advised that your phraseology there, we have Iran on their knees. We had them on their knees. Mm-hmm. Now they and China and Russia are salivating.
Oh, absolutely.
While they may still be down, they see opportunity around them.
There
the
is no question about
with
that.
The Biden and presidency.
Just listen at how Biden has these little subtle digs at Donald Trump as he promises to reverse all the great things Trump did.
While he's healing and unifying.
God seven.
And so, so is the message I want the world to hear today. America is back. America is back. Diplomacy is back at the center of our foreign policy. As I said in my inaugural address, we will repair our alliances and engage with the world once again, not to meet yesterday's challenges, but today's and tomorrow's. American leadership must meet this new moment of advancing authoritarianism, including the growing ambitions of China to rival the United States and the determination of Russia to damage and disrupt our democracy.
Where did America go exactly, Jim Cardle? He says America is back. I didn't know we went anywhere.
That's a very legitimate point and good way to put it. What he's talking about there when he says diplomacy is back, what he's saying is that we're going to go back to the Barack Obama method of international affairs, which is leading from behind. That mm-hmm. means America fits into Iran's and China's outlook, yes. Not the other way around. You know, America is leading from behind. We are not putting fear. In the art of war, you got to understand the concept of fear and intimidation is necessary. We do not want to be killed. We are in war to kill. And he's saying diplomacy is bad. I'm all for diplomacy, but I don't know. This is really kind of concerning.
Well, you said lead from behind. I was just going to say, I thought any minute he was going to bend over backward and take one of those Chinese coronavirus anal swipes.
Yes, there you go. Remember when Barack Obama did the apology tour?
Oh, absolutely.
That's what he's talking about, I'm afraid, here.
You know, Barack Obama was an abject disaster, and he seems to be the patron saint of the Biden administration.
And half of his administration is back in the Obama administration, including those who said Chinese communist heroes of the past are also their heroes of philosophy that we need to apply in America. This is really kind of interesting. It's going to be concerning if we've talked about China's already executed some fake military exercises, or they're real military
tested.
Exercises, but they're simulated attacks.
Mm-hmm, sure.
They are getting ready, and we're going to have to be talking about it.
And what do we do with Biden as president of the United States if China decides that it will forcibly take Taiwan?
That's exactly what I'm talking about. That's a little esoteric probably for some people. Foreign affairs is never anything that does too much for me, but you are exactly right. They are going to be trying to expand their
and see what they can
territory
get done.
At America's expense. Yeah. Thank you, Joe Biden.
And as Biden just sort of falls back in lockstep and leads from behind, they'll keep pushing.
Well, no, he sends his good friend John Kerry on a private jet go around and negotiate diplomacy.
All right. Now, Biden is poking fun again at Trump in this clip. You have to listen to it because it's subtle. And he's using Myanmar as an example. And he calls it Burma because he can't pronounce Myanmar. Here's Biden, cut 8.
Over the past few days, we've been in close cooperation with our allies and partners to bring together the international community to address the military coup in Burma. I've also been in touch with Leader McConnell to discuss our shared concerns about the situation in Burma, and we are united in our resolve. There can be no doubt, in a democracy, force should never seek to overrule the will of the people or attempt to erase the outcome of a credible election.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, for Pete's sakes. So unnecessary, Joe. I mean,
you picked it up, huh?
I'm sorry, Lynn. I don't know if you're going to say something, but I'm going to interrupt you and jump in. When he's talking about close cooperation with our allies, I would assume that means half of America or the citizens of the United States. And then he says democracy should never seek to the healing, the unity, the two-faced messaging coming out here
Come on,
is just
man.
As obvious as the nose on your face. It's as if he as we've said before, Lynn, I got to settle down here. All Democrats have to do half the time is not be stupid, and they just cannot do it. He did not need to say that. He does not need to be taking those digs. You're exactly right. I hope that we maybe are going to see something different here.
This is
quickly.
Not the most entertaining audio of the morning.
Okay.
That will come at 8:05.
Okay.
Oh. In that first segment, we're going to have Rand Paul talking to Miguel Cardona, who is the new education
secretary of education.
And that
yes.
is going to curl your hair.
Really? Okay. Cardona's got quite a story.
All right. Who we got coming up in a couple of minutes?
Dennis Ferris, Austin Retired Police Association, is going to be talking about the DNA lab in the Austin Police Department, according to Greg Kassar, needs to be under the mayor's office, and they got that accomplished.
All right, it's Cardle and Woolley, and we will be right back on Talk 1370.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medela is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Baseball is back. And so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Keeping Austin logical. It's Cardle and Woolley on Talk 1370. Join the conversation 512-643-5483.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. The second action packed and fact filled half hour of Friday morning's Cardle and Woolley show. It's live, local, and logical every morning here at 7 to 9 a.m. of another beautiful day in the nation's 11th largest city. That would be lovely downtown Austin, Texas. And Lynn Woolley, we've been covering the national issues, talking about local things like the homelessness and the hotels being purchased. But I don't know that it's necessarily breaking news. I have not seen anybody else covering it. So it's certainly something that other media outlets are not talking about. But do you know that yesterday's city council, they decided, and I misspoke a little bit there before the break, they decided that it's going to be the smart thing as part of defunding police to move the DNA forensic lab into part of the investigative arms and functions of the Austin Police Department under the city managers. Pardon me, I keep wanting to say city council. Not the city council, not the mayor, but under the city managers' umbrella. And that raises all kinds of questions as to not only objectivity, but also just appropriate spending of police dollars over in the city manager's office. We've got our friend and frequent guest, Dennis Ferris, with the Austin Retired Police Officers Association, going to shed some light on this. Dennis, I appreciate your time when you do join us, and happy Friday morning to you. How you doing?
Pretty good. Morning, guys.
Tell us a little bit about this. It came to my attention. I assume that you and your police brethren have been following this type of thing. It seems like the DNA lab and the forensic TV shows are just bonkers these days on television. But what's going on here with the police department losing what seems like a core and basic function?
Well, what happened was, a few years back, the forensics lab at APD had some issues, and they've been resolved. They had a backlog of the sexual assault, the rape kits that weren't being tested. There were some issues there. I think the police department made some effort, and the city made a big effort to clear up the backlog. I believe it's done. It's cleared. they brought in a new director for the forensics lab, an actual scientist, somebody who knew what they were doing.
Okay.
And that's who's been running the lab over there for APD since, late 2017.
Okay.
So what the city has decided now is that as part of the reimagining, reimagining, defund the police thing, that they're going to take the DNA lab and forensics out from underneath the control of the police department and create its own city department. And, you know, to be honest with you, I haven't talked to a lot of people that have an issue with it. I know that I talked to Ken Cassidy last night, the president of the Austin Police Association. They really don't have an issue.
Okay.
If it makes it a little more gives people the idea that it makes it a little more independent, that's great. There are some concerns, obviously, there. The biggest concern is what happens to the communication between the forensics lab and APD. If it stays like it is now, there's no issue. But now what happens if, let's say, they find somebody has committed a crime?
Exactly.
And they don't want that person, you know, can it be corrupted? And that's the concern, is the could it be corrupted? And, you know, I would hope not. I know that the director of the lab now, who will become a director on the same level as, say, the chief of police or the fire chief or the EMS chief or the head of water, wastewater. She will answer directly to an assistant city manager, where now she is an assistant director at APD and answers to Chief Manley.
But you're moving a core function out of the police department. That's just kind of curious to me.
Well,
is it not?
You know, it's smoke and mirrors, really. Okay. You know, think about it. It's that shell game that they're playing with
a
the police
shell
department.
Game. Uh-huh.
It's a shell game, right? It's, hey, we're moving this out from underneath the police department, but their function isn't going to change.
Lynn Woolley, what do you think about shell games?
My question would just be, Dennis, is the problem that they're moving it out of what is essentially a law enforcement environment, where it's supposed to be whatever the results of the DNA is the results of the DNA?
Yes.
And they're moving it out of that law enforcement environment and they're putting it into a more politically charged environment. And this is a woke city.
Well, that's the concern. That would be the concern if it starts going that way. And you know, again, let's give them a little bit of the benefit of the doubt. But if you start seeing it go that way, then that's where the problem is. And it's something you're going to have to watch and pay attention to make sure it doesn't. You know, it's funny, as our friendly neighborhood socialist there on the council, Gregorio Casar, who, by the way, isn't a Mexican immigrant or near to his parents. His backstory is a lie. But
interesting. Okay.
He got on there and said, we're hiring we're going to put a scientist in charge and blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, it's already there. I mean, nothing's going to change other than who they report to.
Or who they hire and what kind of expertise.
Right.
And let me ask you this. Will they have the ability to hire and fire the director of the DNA lab? That seems to me to be a critical question, whether it's a city hire or a police department hire.
Yes. So the assistant city manager who is over that new department will have the ability to hire or fire the director of the department, just like the city manager has that ability with the police chief, the fire chief.
That's a problem to me, Lynn.
It could be. And again, it could be, you know, I guess maybe the part of me hopes that that won't happen, but it's going to have to. It's something that guys like you and the
others,
police association,
yeah,
and others are going to have to watch. I mean, this isn't something that, oh, well, okay, no big deal. It's going to have to be watched. But, you know, to come out and say, hey, we've done this and it's a great thing and blah, 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 it's disingenuous, because nothing's going to change other than where they report to.
Dennis, we've got a couple of minutes here. I want to ask you something that's always bothered me just a little bit. Over the last several decades, ever since we've had this whole DNA testing thing and we don't go by fingerprints as much anymore, we use the DNA. And we freed a lot of people from prison on this basis, saying, well, the DNA didn't match. This person was wrongly imprisoned, and then that person comes back and sues everybody in sight and ends up being rich. Are you absolutely comfortable that when we free somebody from prison on the basis of DNA evidence, that the DNA got it right?
I am, to be honest with you. You know, fingerprints are great. Even the eyewitnesses can be wrong. We actually did a story a few years back with Shannon Wilson from KXN, when she was at KXN, about eyewitnesses. And eyewitnesses can be wrong. DNA is DNA. And the DNA all came out at the OJ trial, right? That's when DNA first really hit the deal. And, of course, it spawned all these TV shows, the CSIs. And we used to talk about the CSI effect, right? People rely on DNA only, and they're like, oh, DNA, if the DNA isn't right, if the DNA is not there, the person can't be guilty, and it's called the CSI effect. It's a tool. It's like everything else. It's a piece to the puzzle.
All right, got 30 seconds, Dennis. So let me jump in and ask you the follow-up question, and you got 30 seconds here before we have to go to network. If we free these people based on the DNA evidence, is that the end of it, or do we go back, as O.J. Simpson would say, and try to find the real killers?
Well, I think they should go back, and they are trying to go back. And I'll use the yogurt shop murders as the prime example. There's DNA in there that they're still trying to identify who it belongs to, and it's a certain type of DNA. And once they figure that out and science catches up to it, they're going to find out who did it. I still think the guys that they had are guilty of it. But they, obviously the DNA freed them from it. But they haven't collected any money out of that.
All right, Dennis, it's interesting. We're gonna have to stay on top of it. Always appreciate your efforts and your past service in that regard, Dennis Ferris. Have a great weekend. Appreciate you joining us.
Yeah, no worries, guys. Y'all too.
The Retired Police Association of Austin. I'm telling you, Lynn, DNA crime scenes these days. The city manager handling it? I don't know. Good questions there. We got to take a break, folks, right here on the Cardle and Woolley Show. Talk 1370 every morning, 7 to 9 o'clock. We will be right back on Talk 1370.
Logically discussing the issues Austin cares about. Cardle and Woolley on Talk 1370. Join in. 512-643-5483.
Well, Jim Cardle, talking about what to do with the forensics lab, whether it should be under the police, which is what you and I would typically prefer, because that's a law enforcement agencies are supposed to be about law enforcement. No politics, no wokeness, no skin color. Yep. If you're guilty, you're guilty. If you're not guilty, you're not guilty. And there may be some shades in there and all that. But Eric wants to talk about that. Eric's in Pflugerville, and glad to have you on the Cardle and Woolley Show, Eric. Good morning.
No, yes, sir. Thank you for taking my call. Yeah, I was just thinking, perhaps if they were wanting to take that out of the hands of APD, perhaps putting that under, say, the county coroner's office might be a good fit.
Not a bad idea. Better than the city manager.
Exactly. At least it's somebody that's in that same scientific realm, of dealing with evidence and crime scenes and that sort of thing.
Eric, let me see if I'm coming from the same place you are. The city manager is not elected, but he is hired by an elected city council, so he is up to his neck, or she is up to her neck, as the case may be, in politics. I mean, there's a huge, it's all part of a bureaucracy. And I think what you're trying to say, without me putting words in your mouth, is let's keep this somewhere where wokeness won't get involved and where politics is not going to determine the outcome of a DNA test, just whatever the test shows us.
Exactly. And like I said, the county coroner's office, they're used to doing autopsies and dealing with crime scene type of stuff. And, they've got the scientific background to deal with that kind of thing. And they're, if somebody wants it in an unbiased hand, that probably would be a good fit.
Unbiased being the key word there. Let me ask you real quick, Eric, appreciate you calling on this forensic lab. It appears that this is yet another tactic of the social Democrat, it was Greg Kassar, a city councilman who's pushed this thing. He was crowing like a rooster at dawn yesterday about getting this accomplished. Is this another step? What do you think about the city council and the city of Austin's effort to degrade police and to disrespect police, or to certainly defund by means of transferring out these types of functions?
Well, I think you know, any kind of call for defunding the police is absolutely shameful.
Yes.
You know, it's just not even logical to consider that. And you know, if there are people that are concerned about maybe that the police department is biased in some way, or that's going to be some kind of an issue, you know, I think, like I said, maybe the county coroner's office, they're, you know, as far as I know, an apolitical body,
mm-hmm.
right?
Yep.
All right.
And, you know, they're not, you know, they do the scientific work. They come up with the facts. This is what it is. Boom.
The key word there, Lynn, that he mentioned, logical.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
Eric, thank you very much for the call, and we hope you'll call us back.
All right. Thank you so much.
All right. Thank you. You know, he's got a good point
he
there.
He does.
You know, the city of Austin's got to make another big decision, too, Jim Cardle.
They do? Oh,
well,
no.
We were talking just a couple of days ago. You know, we tend to get everything.
Yes.
You know, we tend to get everything. Tulsa thought they might get Elon Musk and Tesla.
I see what you're saying.
You know, we tend to win these things. So the latest thing that's up there, well, you know, a lot of cities were bidding for the Cardle and Woolley show, as you know.
No, I didn't know.
Dallas, Houston, San Antonio, Fredericksburg, you know.
They didn't have Casey Johns at the
end. And Austin, Austin won that. Okay, so.
There you go.
So we've got a $1 billion situation here forming around Samsung.
Oh,
Samsung,
yeah.
Obviously.
Huge.
Wants to come to Austin, and they're talking about Phoenix, Maricopa County. But they obviously.
Telephones and phone chips and cell phone manufacturing.
Yeah, but they want to do it in Austin, and it will create 1,800 jobs. That'll be over 10 years. That's a full decade.
That's
so
a lot of jobs.
I've got some thoughts on this, but let me get your thoughts. So now the city of Austin has got to decide the district of Travis.
Okay.
Travis
as
County.
As well, yeah.
And the Manor Independent School District, because it'll be out there at the Samsung plant.
Okay.
So do they give them $1 billion? That's what, 90s?
Over how many years?
Well, I guess over the 10 years.
Okay.
Is it 20 years? All right,
absolutely.
20 years. Sorry. To do, yeah, I see it right now. Yeah, it's in the story. Sorry. Is it worth it?
You raise an excellent point, Lynn, and this is a subject that's been at the state legislature for the last two or three sessions. Here's the situation. It is a competitive environment, not only globally, for where jobs are located. We know Donald Trump talked about losing automobile manufacturing to Mexico, other jobs to China. The same thing happens with Texas. The technology industry has major centers and hubs across the country. Phoenix, Arizona is one of them. The triangle over North Carolina is another one. States are competing. Counties are competing for these locations. It's a denial of reality to think that you don't have to offer incentives. It's not the deal breaker and maker, but it is a key component, and you're darn right. We got to be competitive because this is how you
all
build
right. I absolutely agree with you with one caveat. Of course, yes. And that is Samsung, if I were voting on this, to give Samsung this tax break
okay.
in return for these jobs, I would say yes, but you got to show us the jobs. You got to show us steady progress on the jobs.
Oh, they do that.
And if you decide to close
absolutely.
Down any of your operations in Austin, you pay us back the money. And let me give you
they do.
Let me tell
things.
You how things can change.
You heard me. They do those.
Yeah,
things.
On Colorado Street,
okay,
right downtown Austin.
Yes.
There's a brand new skyscraper. It's not open yet. It's about 33 stories high, totally leased by an energy company. 100% of that building leased by an energy company.
Really.
As they were finishing building that skyscraper.
Yes.
And it's right where the Sullivan Steakhouse used
okay.
to be. All right, across from Colorado Tower and the Molar, which is being built next door.
Yes.
All right, but before they finished building that skyscraper, the energy company that leased it was purchased by, I believe, an Irving company.
Yes.
And they have now closed down their Austin operations.
Well, I'm sure that there's some repercussions, unless it was the city of Austin who doesn't always do the deals.
I'm just saying, let's do the tax incentives. Let's make sure we cover
absolutely
for that. All right.
Absolutely.
Talk 1370, the right choice. Lynn Woolley, Jim Cardle, and we will be right back.
Live, local, logical. It's Cardle and Woolley on Talk 1370. Join the conversation at 512-643-5483. Now, here are Cardle and Woolley.
Jim Cardle, there is breaking news this morning on stuff that will affect everybody. Have you checked your wallet yet? Is there another $2,000 in there or another $1,600? Are they just taking stuff out of your wallet?
Is the Senate passing legislation?
Well, no, not really. What they worked on, and they worked all night, is they're trying to get to a point where they can vote on Biden and Schumer and Pelosi's $1.9 trillion stimulus bill,
and maybe throwing a $15 minimum wage in there. That'll be interesting.
Not right now.
Okay.
Sanders knows that's this is not going to work for him. That it would backfire.
I don't know.
So well, yeah, they're not going to do it all at one time. It's you gotta. I don't know. You gotta fool them somehow
is what I'm thinking.
You got to eat that cow one piece at a time. You can't eat the whole cow at one time. I learned that in my Kassar compassion training the other day.
Okay.
Now, look, what they did, Jim, but this is going to really make you mad.
Frost me.
It's going to frost you.
Okay.
The Senate adopted a budget resolution for coronavirus relief. The vote was 51-50. With Vice President Kamala Harris casting the tie-breaking vote. It's not a final bill, but the Senate can now go toward the final bill, and they will use the little budgetary trick called reconciliation.
And Kamala Harris and the 50-50, the Georgia primaries, oh, my gosh,
yeah, but here's the thing. Yeah, this is where Georgia—
This is not good for the Democrats.
This is where the Georgia elections changed the world forever,
and the
Georgia
Democrats are using
has got to take blame for that.
Yep, this is not a good development for the Democrats. You don't want to— right out of the chute be having to go to extemporaneous
but here's tactics. Here's the fun part.
Okay.
In getting ready, moving up toward this reconciliation, Senate rules are such that the Republicans could put all the amendments they wanted.
I thought you said this was going to be fun.
Oh, it is fun.
Okay.
This is hilarious.
Okay.
All the amendments
load
they want,
up.
All of which were voted down essentially by Kamala Harris coming in to break the tie.
Yeah.
But the fun part about it is that the Republicans were putting up these amendments that were exceedingly uncomfortable for the Democrats. Things like, well, let's reinstate the Keystone XL pipeline.
And they got them on the record voting against
it. They got them on the record voting against all this stuff.
Yes.
It is absolutely amazing. And among the issues that the Republicans forced the votes on,
yep,
were efforts to support the Remain in Mexico policy from the Trump administration. That's illegal immigration,
yep,
where they had to remain in Mexico while waiting to see if we were going to let
them
over.
Now they're going to wait in the United States, and yep, we're catching and releasing again.
And I mentioned the Keystone Pipeline, another opposing the increase of the federal minimum wage during the pandemic and more. Also, here's a couple where Schumer and the Democrats, with Harris making the tie-breaking vote, undid three other amendments, fracking, the Keystone XL pipeline, and here's the big one, opposing these stimulus checks for illegal aliens.
Oh, for
and
Pete's
so,
sakes.
Oh, I mean, they're not supposed to say, you know, our undocumented neighbors.
Yeah.
All right, but at least they're on the record. So it looks like illegal aliens will get the stimulus.
Lynn, I got to put a plug in. I was talking to my friend and our friend Kevin Brady, congressman from Houston, who had a press conference down with Minority Leader McCarthy and Congressman Babin, Congressman McCall down at the Houston Ship Channel about the Keystone Pipeline and all the job-killing efforts of the Biden administration. We're going to have Congressman Brady on the show next Monday or Tuesday talking about all these types of things. I'm sure he'll have an interesting perspective.
All right, now, we promised you some clips that will curl your hair, assuming you have any.
Okay.
And I thought I had more than I do till Casey insists on having some of these camera angles that show me exactly how much hair I don't have.
On Facebook Live, for sure.
Miguel Cardona is this guy that's supposed to be the new education secretary. Mm-hmm. And as you know, Rand Paul has been championing logic here. And this got pretty uncomfortable for Cardona, but he did not back down. In cut one, Senator Paul asked Cardona about a civil rights opinion on this boys playing in the girls' leagues,
yes,
and whether he will enforce it. Cut one.
The Office of Civil Rights sent a letter to Connecticut saying that boys can't compete with girls in sports, or
so what's
they shouldn't
be forced
to allow boys to compete in girls' sports. If you're confirmed, will you enforce that Office of Civil Rights opinion?
Hello, Senator. Thank you for the question. I understand that there are a lot of concerns about that. It's if confirmed, it's my responsibility and my privilege to make sure that we're following our civil rights of all students. And that includes activities that they may engage in high school or in athletics.
Translation, Jim, boys can play on the girls' league.
Yep, exactly. He's had to deal with it as the commissioner of education in Connecticut, where this is at the tip of the spear. Transgendering boys have an advantage when they're wrestling against girls in high school sports. There's no way around it.
Well, that's what Rand Paul's saying. Listen to this. He presses on about the lunacy, and Cardona sticks to the radical position. Cut two.
What do you think in general about boys running in girls' track meets like they've been doing in Connecticut?
I think that it's critically important that education systems and educators respect the rights of all students, including students who are transgender, and that they are afforded the opportunities that every other student has to participate in extracurricular activities.
Does it bother you that, like, the top 20% of boys running in track meets beat all of the girls in the state, and that it, you know, would be, you know, completely destroy girls' athletics? The girls are being pushed out. They don't make the finals in the state meet. They don't get college scholarships. That it's really detrimental to girls' sports. Do you worry about having boys running girls' track meets?
You know, I recognize and appreciate the concerns and the frustrations that are expressed. As Commissioner of Education, have had conversations with families who have felt the way you just described it, and families of students who are transgender.
Yeah. In other words, we're radicals. We're going to stay radicals. We're not backing down. Boys who think they're girls are still boys, but by golly, they can play with the girls.
Did you hear what he said, Lynn? The record books are going to be rewritten.
That's right.
For sprinting in every state high school's track meet, if this continues on.
Well, Paul went on. He asked him more about the fairness of boys competing against girls. Cut three.
Do you think it's fair to have boys running in the girls' track meet?
I think it's appropriate I think it's the legal responsibility of schools to provide opportunities for students to participate in activities, and this includes students who are transgender.
And finally, Paul trying to get Cardona to make sense. He doesn't make sense. Paul vents. Cut four.
So you don't have a problem then with boys running in the girls' track meet, swimming meets, name it. You're okay then with boys competing with girls?
Respectfully, Senator, I think I answered the question. I believe schools should offer the opportunity for students to engage in extracurricular activities, even if they're transgender. I think that's their right.
All right. Well, a lot of us think that that's bizarre, you know, not very fair. You know, I come from a family that has a lot of girls who have competed in college athletics, have been state champions. And frankly, you know, some boy that's 6'2" competing against my 5'4" niece doesn't sound very fair. I think most people in the country think it's bizarre, you know, that it's just completely bizarre and unfair that people, and you're going to run the Department of Education, you've got no problem with it. That concerns me. And I think it's this kind of thing is going to lead to really just the vast majority of America just wondering, who are these people that think it's okay? From what planet are you from?
And Rand Paul is exactly right there, Lynn. You ask most of the mothers, most of the women in this country, and they are going to be asking the same thing. What planet are you from? It is the absolute socialist, Democrat, woke left, and the mainstream media. Obviously, you can tell I'm a little bit frosted. I think most Americans, if this gets too far down the road, are just going to be apoplectic. Put that word in your head. Okay, folks, we got to take a commercial break here. Come back with more Cardle and Woolley Friday morning. Happy Friday morning to you on Talk 1370, The Right Choice.
Live, local, and taking your calls at 512-643-5483. It's Cardle and Woolley on Talk 1370.
Well, you know what? I saw something here. Every morning, we're a CBS station, as you know. And every morning we get something from CBS, which is their daily news roundup. And this one just really got my eye. The cost of deploying 26,000 National Guard troops to secure the U.S. Capitol after the January 6th insurgency there is nearly $500 million. So I got out my trusty cell phone calculator. That comes out to about $20,000 per guardsman. That's probably about
which
right.
Ain't bad, but I don't know, Lynn Woolley. You and I do math too well to be Democrats.
It's not bad if you're the individual guardsman that went down there and guarded the Capitol
for about 5 days.
But 26,000 of them.
Yeah, and the guards and the police and the first responders did not receive all that money.
You know, all they had to do, they knew there were things going on. They know about chatter. They can read social media. They knew there were some idiots out there on the right and some idiots out there on the left.
And we know they were infiltrated by leftist BLM.
All they had to do was send a few extra policemen, maybe 500 policemen around the Capitol.
Yep.
And you and I ran a clip.
We did.
Of a guy who was standing in front of one of the Capitol policemen, or two or three of them.
Calling for help.
And he was saying, come on, these people are going into the Capitol. Do something. Stop them. So don't tell me that I've got to revere the Capitol Police. I'm so sorry about those guys, the one that got hit with the fire extinguisher and died, but they didn't do their job.
And Donald Trump was the one who told them to inflict violence and insurrection, which he did not do when Democrats have been calling for further protests and destruction and have actually executed it.
All right. Now, here's an interesting thing. We talk about the homeless, and if you haven't heard yet, the whole camping ban thing is going to be back on the city clerk's office. Has certified the petition, so it will be on the May ballot. And again, the issue we're worried about here is how the city words it.
Yes.
Because they can create mischief.
Number one, on the homeless ban, but on the number two, on how they buy these hotels, they all do it behind closed doors, and it's not transparency for the city government. That's my issue.
And that hotel wasn't worth $9 million.
No, of course not. And they claim that they can't do it in public because it will put them at a fair market disadvantage for other potential buyers. It's all government excuse. It's all in the night of day. It's all due for thee, but not for me.
Did you say in the night of day?
Or in the dark of night.
In the dark of night. Yes. Okay, I'm just saying.
Good catch.
Look, Jim, here's something, too, that relates to that. You know, every couple of years, they go out, and all cities do, they go out and they count the homeless.
Okay.
Now, I live down in the Temple area on the weekends here during the week, and we count our homeless and ask them, well, why are you homeless? And about 90% of them say, I like the lifestyle.
Yeah, and the city of Austin postponed their census of the homeless.
That's because of the coronavirus.
Yep.
Have you ever wondered why they are so adamant about counting the homeless?
I would suspect it has to do with money.
You are right. In Austin, like many cities across the nation, this is out of the Texas Tribune, the regular January census of people was canceled, and that's because 60% of regions nationwide had requested waivers or exemptions because of the pandemic. So now they're only going to count people living in the homeless shelters, and we're into February, so that ought to be done.
Are they admitting there that these homeless camps are super spreader locations?
No, we're talking money here. Well, the U.S. Department of Housing and Urban Development requires regions to conduct what's called point-in-line counts in order to receive federal funding. The more homeless we have, the more federal funding we have,
absolutely,
and then the more we defund the police, the more money we can put in the pot with the federal funding, and the more hotels we can buy, and the cycle continues.
And is the city of Austin improving its livability all throughout that? I would say not.
I don't know.
An interesting dynamic, Lynn, because what you're talking about is on the one hand, the government does want to grow just like any business. So they want to get more money.
Absolutely.
On the one hand. On the other hand, what they're saying is they postponed the census, which puts them at odds with getting more money, but they postponed it because they're admitting that these camps are dangerous coronavirus super spreader locations, and yet nobody's talking about it except Lynn Woolley, the doctor of logic.
Secretary. All right. Now, saying the city was wrong to kill their tax exemption, there's going to be some property owners filing suit. You know, here's one of those things that I don't know whether this is one of those cases or not, but some people buy a place way out in the country. I know that the Texas Insider lives in a very exclusive bedroom community.
I don't know about that, but I darn sure ain't in the city of
that
Austin.
That I'm not even allowed to go into without showing a photo ID.
There you go.
But anyway, you go out in one of these places and you're thinking, man, I don't have to pay city taxes. I don't have to pay junior college taxes, and all that. Maybe I have to pay something for the county.
Street lighting, moon tower assessment fees, yes.
But we got about 200 lakefront properties along Lake Austin.
Over there by Hula Hut, yeah.
Yeah, I love Hula Hut, by the way.
And LCRA's
over there. But Hula Hut needs to construct a parking garage. Last time I tried to eat there, couldn't get in. No place to park. But anyway, they've sued the city of Austin and Austin Community College to get out of paying the property taxes, and they said they do not receive the same level of city services. So if you're going to pay city taxes, you ought to get city water, city sewer, and city garbage pickup, right?
Correct, you would think.
So are they right or are they wrong?
Well, the nut of the situation is that there was a longstanding exemption going back decades from when that part of town over there, what's now known as Lake Austin, used to be out in the country. City domain proper was, not much past Lamar, frankly, to the west. So therefore, if the folks were out in the country, they didn't have to pay the taxes. But now growth has led through annexation and various things. The city now is part of or encompasses that part, a lovely part. I think the average appraisal of those homes is about $2 million. But the exemption still existed, and thanks to the Austin American States person, since we can't say man, woman, girl, boy, or those types of things, they decided that they needed to look into it, the statesman, and next thing you know, the city council's looking to expand their
revenue,
and they are trying to collect taxes, and there's a lawsuit.
Would you like to guess which member of the city council got this going?
No.
Austin City Council member Gregorio Casar,
really?
Who helped push for the repeal that placed the lakefront properties on the city's tax roll, said the property owners' claim that they don't receive city services is false. You know, this is an easy one, Jim Cardle. They either get the services or they don't get the services. You're either an insider or you're not.
That's right.
I mean,
they
it's
are
one or the other.
They are getting the services, so it is a fairly objective point.
Well, according
but
to the statesman,
government.
The large majority of properties initially identified do not have access to city water, wastewater, or trash service, and about 50 do not get electricity from Austin Energy. Actually, that's a good thing.
Mm-hmm.
Austin Energy is a monopoly. You
yes,
can do better than Austin Energy, except that it's a monopoly. Yeah. By the way,
lawsuits, more city growth.
I failed my first test at
all that's good radio.
Kassar compassion training.
You did?
Yeah,
you
we had our first test. I failed it. Yeah, the question was, it was only one question. The question was, the question was, Beto O'Rourke notices that you have three guns, and he says you must give the guns to him. So
you're
then how
damn
many,
right
so,
we're coming
so then
after
how
your
many guns.
Guns
do you
oh,
have?
Yes.
And I answered three.
Okay. But the answer should have been zero.
It should have been
guess.
Zero. I failed
yes.
the test. Yep. I don't know.
Can't
what.
Have guns. Nope. Bad thing.
Oh, by the way, Marjorie Taylor Greene.
Oh, up in Congress. Yes.
Yes.
Big deal yesterday.
CNN's newest obsession.
Yep.
She spoke on the House floor about past conspiracies that she has
been accused
been
of.
Accused,
rightfully or wrongfully.
Well, rightfully. She's a nut. Let's just face it. She's a Republican. I don't support Republicans because they're Republicans. I support Republicans when they're right.
So you aren't a member of the KKK, but you do support blacks.
No.
I like that logical thinking.
Okay, we'll pick this up. Talk 1370, the right choice. We'll be right back.
Q. keeping Austin logical. It's Cardle and Woolley on Talk 1370. Join the conversation, 512-643-5483.
All right, a couple of quick things just in case you just joined us. One is the TCU Faculty Senate has retracted its little thingy-do there. You know the
it's
thing.
It's attack on against Congressman Roger Williams.
Yeah, Roger Williams.
And you know the thing.
And it's not because they have suddenly started liking him. It's because there's already a proposal on the table that would say no elected official can be on the Texas Christian University Board of Trustees, so they're going to try to get him off that way.
And that ain't necessarily a bad thing. I don't know if Roger was on that board before he became a congressman, and who knows, you know? The wokeness at higher education institutions is running rampant, but, you know, go knock yourself out, I guess.
Yeah, and the other breaking news on the national scene is that the Senate has adopted a budget resolution for coronavirus relief. Republicans squeezed the Democrats. They had a marathon voterama where the Republicans put up a lot of very uncomfortable resolutions.
And got the Democrats on the record.
And they were all voted essentially 50-50. So they brought Kamala in to cast the deciding vote. One of them was to go back and reopen the Keystone XL pipeline.
Hundreds of thousands of jobs
which
that
is
Democrats are now against.
Probably the thing, wouldn't you say, that Biden is catching the most heat over?
Oh, absolutely. And rightfully so. It's one thing, Lynn Woolley, for a government legislative body or the White House through executive orders to be doing something positive to improve this nation. For the White House to be attacking and doing something against the citizens of the United States that does real and everyday economic harm, a lot of people across America are thinking or wondering, how is that legal and how is that constitutional?
Okay, it started with the O.J. Simpson trial. It moved into the missing Malaysian jetliner. It went on into Russian collusion. After that, it became coronavirus and anything having to do with Trump. I'm talking about all the various obsessions of CNN. And their latest obsession,
yes.
Jim Cardle, Marjorie Taylor Greene.
I thought you were going to say Jeff Zucker.
Their
soon-to-be departed president.
Not soon enough.
Yes.
Well, look, okay,
this congresswoman from Georgia.
All right, I want you to do me. Can you do something for me in 20 seconds?
Sure.
Or 15 seconds,
okay.
Because we're running low on time.
Okay.
What's QAnon?
I have no idea.
Okay. See, I can tell you what it is. It's a bunch of conspiracy theorists who have formed a little online group, and they have these weird things. It started with Pizzagate in Washington,
which means nothing to most people.
Well, but they need to know what it is. Pizzagate was essentially a QAnon conspiracy theory that Hillary Clinton was running a child pornography ring out of a pizza place in Washington. This is how stupid this stuff is. Well, Marjorie Taylor Greene has promoted some of this stuff.
Okay.
So's General Flynn,
okay,
for that matter.
Okay.
So the Democrats got together and decided they had the majority in the House. They don't need to worry about Republicans. They can throw her off the committees. They put her on the Education Committee.
Marjorie Taylor Greene, a congresswoman who was also, by the way, elected by a certain group of constituents rightfully.
With 70% of the vote, I might add.
Yes.
All right. So, and she's a Republican from Georgia. She went on the House floor before they have thrown her off the Education Committee.
That's ridiculous.
But she went on the House floor to speak about these conspiracies that she helped spread, and she wore a COVID mask, I noticed in the video, that said free speech on it. And here's what she said about her current stance on truth. Cut 5.
That is a mix of truth and a mix of lies is dangerous, no matter what it is saying, what party it is helping, anything or any country it's about. It's dangerous. And these are the things that happen on the left and the right. And it is a true problem in our country. So I walked away from those things and I decided I'm going to do what I've done all my life. I'm going to work hard and try to solve the problems that I'm upset about. So I started getting involved in politics.
And then she seemed to reverse her stand on school shootings. Cut 6.
You see, school shootings are absolutely real. And every child that is lost, those families mourn it. I understand how terrible it is because when I was 16 years old in 11th grade, my school was a gun-free school zone, and one of my schoolmates brought guns to school and took our entire school hostage. And that happened right down the hall from my classroom. I know the fear that David Hogg had that day. I know the fear that these kids have. And this is why, and I say this sincerely with all my heart, because I love our kids, every single one of your children, all of our children. I truly believe that children at school should never be left unprotected. I believe they should be just as protected as we were with 30,000 National Guardsmen.
Okay, well, look, that reference to David Hogg, who's the somewhat left-wing school shooting survivor, she was following him, hurling different, I don't know if they were obscenities, maybe they were, maybe they weren't, but just, you know, you want to take away our gun rights, you know, let David Hogg do what David Hogg does. And don't troll him, but they threw her off the committee anyway. So okay, let me set this up for you because you're the Texas insider, and I think you'll have some good insight. The Republicans have somebody on a committee, the Education Committee, who was, shall we say, less than truthful about a number of things. Jim Cardle, don't the Democrats have somebody on the Intelligence Committee who actually had sex with a spy?
Yeah, a Chinese spy, Eric Swalwell from California. There was not a peep. As a matter of fact, Nancy Pelosi defended him. They've continued to let him sit on the Intelligence Committee where you get classified information briefings. In fact, they even allowed the FBI to give him what's called a defensive briefing so he could defend himself. He's still sitting there. You've got Maxine Waters, another congresswoman from California, saying, go attack and fight any Trump administration officials you see at a restaurant, get up in their face. She continues to sit on appropriate committees. What's going on here, Lynn, is that what Marjorie Taylor Greene also said, and is carrying on Donald Trump's Make America Great policy, she said, she responded to Nancy Pelosi. Nancy Pelosi says, we have an enemy within, and she's talking about her fellow Republican congressmen and women in Congress, accusing them of being enemies within. Are you kidding? So Marjorie Taylor Greene says, the enemy is a poisonous rot of socialist policies who think they're untouchable elites. This is an example, Harvard case study of how Democrats are hypocrites, the left-wing sock puppet corrupt media. You have got what's going on here, Lynn, is that Democrats are trying to control the narrative, and they do it, and they're doing a good job of it, where anything conservative, anything Donald Trump, in this case, anything Marjorie Taylor Greene, is thought to be, or in the general public, looked as illegitimate, corrupt, dishonest. And I say what I've been saying the last month is, if Democrats are accusing Republicans of doing something, it means two things. Number one, the Republicans aren't doing it, and the Democrats, number two, are doing it. And this just makes you want to be ill early in the morning.
All right, about 100 miles or so up to freeway in Waco, Texas, is a wonderful university called Baylor University. It was founded by, or named after, actually, Robert Emmett Bledsoe Baylor. There is a woman there by the name of Linda Livingstone, Ph.D., who is now the president of Baylor and also the chief appeaser. Baylor has gone far, far, far left under Linda Livingstone. And we are to the point now where a small group of students have gathered around the statue of Robert Emmett Bledsoe Baylor to demand that it be removed.
Oh, for Pete's sake.
They're going to remove the statue of Judge Baylor from Baylor.
For what?
Well, because he was an ordained Baptist pastor, and he reluctantly had the university named for him, but he was blamed by students for not being racially integrated until 1963. I don't know when he died, but he's been gone for a long time. His body is over there at Mary Hardin Baylor in Belton, 6 feet under the ground.
I point out to you another fine example, San Francisco ISD removing the name Abraham Lincoln from some of its high schools because Abraham Lincoln did not show respect for the black man.
Yeah, but get this. In September at Baylor,
literally,
they put sensitive content warning signs near a student-created display of American flags commemorating 9/11 victims. Folks,
it's the tail wagging the dog insanity.
No, I think it's worse. We have lost Baylor. Do not send your students to Baylor if you
really
want them to get a good, have any kind of a conservative education.
Man.
All right, and I love Baylor other than that, but look, They're probably not as bad as UG, and that's my alma mater. All right, the lightning round's coming up. Lynn Woolley, Jim Cardle, Talk 1370, The Right Choice, and we'll be back in a minute.
Logically discussing the issues Austin cares about. Cardle and Woolley on Talk 1370. Join in 512-643-5483.
All right, folks, on the Fort Worth edition of the Lightning Round here in the nation's 11th largest city, Austin, Texas. Let me start, Jim, Carl. I don't know if you've seen the video of the Texas Motor Speedway, which is just north up of Fort Worth. It's by the Buc-ee's, by the Buc-ee's.
Big, huge, wonderful institution up
there. It is, and they are moving thousands and thousands and thousands of people through the Fort Worth Texas Motor Speedway and giving them coronavirus
vaccinations.
Yeah. And I just want to say, do we do things right in Texas or not?
It doesn't get any more all-American than a speedway and putting something in your arm to fight the coronavirus. We do things the right way, I think, would be the answer, even though there's been some criticism of it. If it's run by the government, there's going to be a hiccup or two, but thank goodness, for that effort up there in Fort Worth. I got to ask you, Lynn Woolley, I saw something the other day. The Democrats last week sent out a fundraising email under the name of Nancy Pelosi, who is warning of the threat, quote unquote. They're calling Donald Trump again a threat, as if that's the most important thing we need to be worried about. The email said Donald Trump's team just announced he's sitting on $70 million and he plans to spend every cent to elect pro-Republicans up and down the ballot. Is that what's behind impeachment? They want to neuter his future efforts?
Jim Cardle, I think you are absolutely right. And you know, this impeachment that comes up, what, Tuesday of next week?
That's
or
why
Thursday?
I'm asking, yes, sir.
You and I, neither one deemed that important enough to even bring up until now.
They not to mention legal.
That Trump comes and sits in front of these idiots and goes under oath, not on your life.
They don't
His
know.
His best bet is to ignore
when to
them.
Stop.
All right, back to Fort Worth. Bubbles the Hippo.
Okay. Bubbles the Hippo.
Bubbles the Hippo.
At the Fort Worth Zoo, maybe?
Well, I'm not sure.
I love that zoo.
This may be a striptease artist.
Yes.
This may be a striptease artist somewhere in downtown Fort Worth.
It's the Fort
All right, it's a hippo. And Bubbles the Hippo has picked the Kansas City Chiefs to win the Super Bowl.
Okay.
So what do you think? I am also picking Kansas City to win the Super Bowl, and I am not a hippo.
There you
so
go.
What does the Texas Insider say about who's going to win the Super Bowl?
I would want to know what Bubbles' track record is and whether or not she has, I assume it's a she, has been successful in the past. Yeah, everybody, happy Super Bowl Sunday coming up here. As Austin's health officials and others have said, including Anthony Fauci, don't go to a party. You got to socially distance. You got to only gather with your own family and watch the most popular television event on an annual basis. I think by and large, I tell you, the thing is, who I'm cheering for, Patrick Mahomes from White House, Texas, is a suburb of Tyler, a Texas Tech graduate. He potentially could be the greatest of all time. He's playing against Tom Brady, who is currently under most analysts, the GOAT, greatest of all time. It's going to be a great game. I don't have any question. Let me ask you, Lynn Woolley, overnight here, we saw that the Austin City Council had its wisdom on display, voting against and denouncing violent extremism at the U.S. Capitol, as if that's something we need to be...
It was a lapse in judgment.
Wasting our hot air. And speaking of Mayor Adler, he says, our democracy is a sacred and not given ability. As both elected representatives and members of our great nation, it's our duty to protect democratic institutions. Is that what's going on down there with Mayor Adler and City Council denouncing extremism, quote unquote?
No, you got to read between the lines.
Amen.
Basically, they're denouncing Republicans.
Exactly.
But I got to say this about it. It takes a lot of guts to denounce acts of domestic terrorism at the United States Capitol. My hat is off. What other city council would have the guts and the fortitude to do something like that?
As if Democrats aren't calling for
violence. All right, Jim, the city of Austin hosting a media availability with a recently appointed homeless strategy officer, Diana Gray, at 9 o'clock this morning, okay. 6 minutes from right now. If you could get on that line, of course, I'm the last person they'd want on that line, but if you could get on that line, what would you ask Diana Gray?
I have no idea, to be honest. I know what you would ask her, and that would be, how much are you making?
No, I know how much she's making. I'd ask her, what are you going to do with that?
How much is she making?
Highly inflated salary. What's about 160 to 190, isn't it?
I think it's 137.5 is what
it is.
Is it?
Okay.
But
yeah.
Let me
It's not bad money if you can get it, and especially for doing something that's essentially your hobby.
And doing it remotely. Austin City Council is also working, as we've been talking about, the camping ban. City Council member Ann Kitchens yesterday made it clear, or Tuesday, made it clear that policing and citations are no longer on the table for those who break ordinance and actually camp on city park property. No tickets, no punishment. Is that a way to deter a problem, Lynn Woolley?
You want something.
Or encourage it.
You want more of something, you encourage it in ways like that. And if you want less of it in this particular case, you make it a felony or you make it a misdemeanor and you charge him. All right, Jim, 42 Senate Democrats have voted in favor of stimulus checks for illegal immigrants. What planet are we on?
Oh, my gosh. Yes, thank you, Mitch McConnell and the Senate leadership. The Democrats have stepped in it again by going to this thing called reconciliation to pass something, and they were using right out of the chute a bad idea, which is having to go to a obscure tactic, and they can't even have unity and healing. Interesting, not good for the Democrat moves. Point well taken, Lynn Woolley.
All right. You got a question for me?
Not in 16 seconds, I don't.
Oh, well, my answers are
Are you going to take us out is my question.
I can take us out.
There you go.
Okay, that will put the plug in the jug for Cardle and Woolley today. We enjoyed this week so much, we're going to do it again next week. Lynn Woolley's saying, be logical and remember, you're either an insider.
Or you're not. I'm Jim Cardle. Have a great weekend, everybody. Talk to you Monday at 7 a.m. right here on Talk 1370.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.